It's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. A little bit of a different edition tonight at 8 o'clock tonight. Normally it's 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, but you can catch us anytime on wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever. We are there at Preds Insiders. So appreciate you joining us here tonight on the program. Interesting week here for the Nashville Predators. They began with a doubleheader, season opener, preseason opener against the Florida Panthers on Monday. Two different games, split squad pretty much for the Predators on Monday. Two different results as well. Predators dropped the first one 4-3 against Florida. They win the second one, a little bit more of an NHL-heavy roster, 4-0 in the second game for the Predators. No UC Saros in those games, no Roman Josi in those games, and no Mikael Granlund in those games as well. So some interesting takeaways from training camp thus far. Obviously, we talked last week about some storylines heading into the Predator season thus far, and some of those are starting to be answered before our very eyes. My number one takeaway from the preseason games on Monday was Matthias Ekholm and Ryan McDonagh paired together. They've got McDonagh on the left side, Matthias Ekholm paired on the right side. I thought they looked really good, and I know it's a preseason game, and there were kind of varying levels of competition out there, although they did spend a lot of time, you know, on that line with Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk and those guys. So, look, I thought they looked really good together. It looks like Matthias Ekholm is going to be the guy that's tasked with playing on his offside. We talked a lot about that. Would it be Ekholm? Would it be McDonagh? I didn't really see a path where it was going to be Josi. Ekholm kind of always made the most sense, and that's the way the Predators have gone. So I don't think the Predators have settled in yet on Ryan McDonagh and Matthias Ekholm for sure being the pairing, but they're certainly off to a good start after that performance on Monday against the Florida Panthers. Some other interesting takeaways from the game: the backup goaltender competition going to be one to watch as they move forward here. I would say Kevin Lankinen, probably the leader in the clubhouse to be the backup goalie by the Predators. He was given the one-way contract. You know, he was given $1.5 million as well. So that's a pretty heavy investment for Kevin Lankinen, who did not have a good season a season ago, but now with a better defense in front of him and a better team, quite frankly, in front of him here in Nashville than he had in Chicago, can that change as they move forward? He did nothing to hurt his case on Monday night. He and Yaroslav Askarov played together in the second game. About half the game, the first half of the game, belonged to Lankinen. Second half of the game went to Askarov. Lankinen, I thought, looked pretty good. He wasn't tested too much, but did have to make a couple of big saves in that game at key times and was able to do so. A little bit more action for Yaroslav Askarov in that game as the game went on. He looked great. He really did. I mean, it's evident as the more I watch him play, the easier it is to see why he was drafted where he was drafted and why there's so much excitement about him as a goaltending prospect. Not only maybe the top goaltending prospect right now in all of the NHL, but one of the top goaltending prospects that we've seen over the last few years in the NHL. So the Predators may have found a good one there. I don't really see a path to him being the backup goaltender to begin play this season. I think it serves him really well to go down to Milwaukee and to play as much as he possibly can and get some games in that way. But certainly Askarov has been very impressive thus far. You've got Devin Cooley, who I think will be in Milwaukee. You know, I guess he's technically in the running for backup goaltender, but I think he'll be in Milwaukee to begin play. And then there's Connor Ingram, who started in the playoffs last year for the Predators after game one, you know, had some really good moments. Obviously in game two looked great. I thought he was okay the other night in the preseason game. He made some good saves. He also let in one that was pretty brutal in that game too. So not that one game or one day is going to ultimately be, you know, the deciding factor when it comes to the backup goaltender competition for the Predators, but it's going to be something that's really intriguing to monitor as they move forward here. And I do wonder, as you talk about the five goalies for four spots, so two spots here in the National Hockey League, two spots in the American Hockey League with Milwaukee, somebody's going to be the odd man out. Who's that going to be? That's going to be really interesting to watch as they move forward here. And Another takeaway, our final takeaway from the Monday preseason games, I was interested to see how they constructed the lines. Cody Glass played with played with Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene. We'll get a little bit more to Cody Glass coming up here in just a few minutes. But I was really interested to see if they had Niederreiter, Johansson, and Tomasino together. And they did. I thought it was an up-and-down game for them. Johansson scores a goal at the end, but Ryan Johansson spoke after the game and talked about the process of trying to build chemistry with those two on his line. Here's what Ryan Johansson had to say after the Predators' preseason opening loss the other night in the first game against the Florida Panthers.
What's the chemistry been like so far with Nino and Phillip out there?
We got some work to do. I thought a little too sloppy. We had to be sharper as a line and just do more on the ice and create more on the ice. I thought in the third period we did get it going a little bit, but so something to build off definitely. But yeah, collectively as the three of us, we're going to bed and showing up to our next practice knowing that we got to put in some more work to find a way to perform better on the ice.
Have you seen Tomasino progress kind of in that spot as he tries to cement that role? Top six,
yeah, it's early. He's a young kid, and kind of what I just said is what he needs to do. It's like, think about the game. We'll look at stuff. We'll watch our own shifts, and it's just, we got to find ways to be better. It's really just as simple as that. And, but his skill and creativity and his hockey IQ is all there. So it just needs to, find a way to bring more on the ice.
We just talked to you, so Parsonen, what did you think of him and the rest of the rookies out there?
I really like his game, actually. He's very strong on faceoffs. He's a strong kid, smart, just an intelligent young kid. And all our young kids, it was fun to watch them tonight. Just saw some good things, I guess. I guess overall, goalies too, Cooley and Inge and... there's some good things to take away for those young kids and for them to build off and gain a little confidence from that they can go out there and do some good things.
The goal, a little bit example of the kind of chemistry maybe you and Nino could have. You know what he's doing. He knows where you're going to be.
I definitely knew he was shooting it. So he's a shooter, and that's something I learned quickly in our time in Portland together. And I think just out of tonight, it was real fun being on the ice with him again. We really were best friends back in the day, and it's funny being back together now. And doing some good things in the third period is something we'll look to build off and go from there.
You scored so many goals from there last year, though, in front of the net. Has that been kind of a point of emphasis? Has that been the way it's just played out for you?
It's something where the game has kind of just turned, and that's how goals are scored. Like, you look at a lot of the goals. The last goal, for example, is tipped off something. Like, it's just getting pucks to the net and going there hard and doing the ugly work, kind of. And that's – it's so emphasized now because players are so good and goalies are so good. It's – a lot of time it's just ugly. So it's definitely something we all work on. Everyone in the league works on. It's nice to be able to be ready for it and be able to get a tip and get a goal out of it. So, yeah, it's something the whole league does for sure.
You said the other day that it's so cool seeing Nino all the time now after not seeing him for a while. You kind of giggle at each other. Were you giggling after that goal?
Yes, we were. Just kind of, he's coming up to me, and I'm like, we've done this before. So it's hopefully, it's been a few years, but I remember this feeling, so. Hopefully we can do that a lot this year.
That was Ryan Johansson after the game on Monday night against the Florida Panthers. Now, some news on the Predators front. I'm sure most of you have seen it by now, but if you haven't, the preseason game originally scheduled for Thursday down in Tampa Bay has been moved to Bridgestone Arena coming up on Thursday. So there will be a back-to-back Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena and then Friday night at Bridgestone Arena as well, both coming against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously, Hurricane Ian making landfall down in that area today. Our thoughts and prayers are with everybody down there. Just a major storm down there in the Tampa area. So that game has been moved to Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. It's two more preseason games for the Predators, and then they are off to Europe. And going to be an interesting training camp. Now, one thing to keep in mind as we start to talk about and continue to get to, the opening night rosters and everything that we typically talk about during the training camp period, A little bit different this year going to Europe. There'll be 27 that they're taking over to Europe instead of the normal 23 that they open the season with. So a little bit different situation when you're heading over to Europe. Some rosters can be expanded at that point. But when they come back to the States and begin the regular, quote-unquote, NHL season with the regular travel, they'll be back down at 23. So something to keep in mind there. Coming up next, Joe Rexroth and I will discuss Cody Glass and the role that maybe he could carve out for himself on this team as well this year, as well as getting to a couple of the position battles at the forward group down at the bottom of the lineup that I think have the chance to be very intriguing for the Nashville Predators. That's coming up next. This is Preds Insiders on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We had an interesting discussion this morning on Robbie and Rexroth about Cody Glass and some other guys towards the bottom of the roster at the forward group that can make things pretty interesting as training camp continues to progress here for the Predators. Here was that conversation this morning on Robbie and Rexroth.
One of the things that I'll be watching for, I know, and I know is of particular interest to you as well, what does the bottom of that lineup start to look like? Who are some guys that can step into roles and carve out a role for themselves with this group? I think a lot of the roster right now, just on paper, is spoken for, but you start to get to the bottom of it, especially at forward, and there's a few different guys there that I think are very interesting where the Predators have options there. And one thing to keep in mind, like, who makes the team to start the regular season is going to be a little bit different this year because they're going to Europe, so you can take more guys with you. So they're going to have 27 going over to Europe instead of the normal 23 that they'll have. So they've got a little bit more roster flexibility for the first two games. But then coming back, once they get back into Nashville, it's back down to 23. So it's a little bit of a different process for the Predators this year at training camp. But I did raise my eyebrows the other night. Cody Glass played with Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene in the second game for the Predators the other night. And, you know, obviously Mikael Granlund wasn't in there, but that told me they really wanted to give him a look and see what he can bring to the table. He played on the power play as well, which he scored a goal on the power play. You know, he's a guy that made the team last year, was here for two games, and then basically spent the entire season with Milwaukee. Came back up toward the end of the year and played, actually in the playoffs, a couple of games for the Predators. But you're talking about a former first-round pick, sixth overall. You got him back in the Ryan Ellis trade. You've just been kind of waiting for him in his career to break out, and he hasn't done it yet. He's a really intriguing guy to me heading into this camp and heading into this season. Can he carve out a role for himself?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you kind of forget about him, and you don't want to go overboard with expectations or thinking he might make a jump. But, I mean, he is an interesting guy, and sometimes with serious knee injuries and things like that, you know, over time it takes more time. And, you know, he had a year, pretty good year in Milwaukee. And I mean, honestly, that part of the lineup is really the only thing that's a question at this point, right? Like, if they're going to go with the second line that they're going with right now, basically it's that line. And I just wonder, you know, is Cody Glass actually going to be a kind of sneaky important part of this team centering the fourth line? And then also, who's with him, if that's the case? You know, Parsonen, is that what do you think? I mean, is that a guy?
He looked pretty darn good the other day. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he got hurt before his draft year. And, I mean, severely hurt. They thought he might never be able to skate again. So that's why he slid to the seventh round. And the Predators may have found something in the seventh round. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, Paul Kariya or anything like that. But he looked pretty good out there the other night. The thing that's going to be interesting here is, you know, contractually you can send a guy like Parsonen down and he doesn't have to go through waivers. I think Glass may have to if he doesn't make the team. So that tells me he's probably going to make the team, and then you can kind of figure out what his role is after that. But, like, I'm interested too, and Willie talked about this yesterday. You know, I think I know what the second line is going to be with Niederreiter and Johansson and Tomasino, but is Tomasino ready for like a full season load of that? Because, I mean, last year he spent a lot of time on the fourth line. He bounced around every now and then. But is Tomasino, has he gotten big enough, strong enough? Can he handle the top 6 minutes all season long? And if not, you're probably going to have to do it like by platoon after that. So whether that's moving Janot up, we know they don't like to break up that herd line. Like, could Glass play the wing if you needed him to on the second line? I don't think that's the way that they're going to go, but, you know, you're counting on Philip Tomasino to come in and be able to handle that role. And if he can't, then you gotta mix and match and shuffle after that.
Yeah, and then I think you brought up, you had a good thread the other day about the Preds, about the Glass power play two possibility. I mean, that power play two is definitely something that they want to be better. I'm not sitting here saying, well, Cody Glass is a key to that, but it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, Niederreiter, you would expect,
yeah,
certainly, right? But how they construct that and how much better it could be.
Well, it's kind of amazing. Like, they had a top 10 power play the whole from start to finish last year. They were top 10 in the power play, and they didn't get a whole lot from that second unit the whole year. That kind of shows you, number one, how good that first unit was. So I don't expect that they're going to change that up too much as they head into this year. But, yeah, like, Cody Glass has an opportunity there. I think Tomasino's got an opportunity there. Niederreiter, I mean, it's Tolvanen, if you want to put four guys back there. That's kind of how they've had it so far with those four guys, and you've had Ekholm back there on the point. I'm really interested to see. Like, they got nothing out of that last year. Very limited results on the second power play unit. Like, that's where you look at Cody Glass. Like, if he's playing the fourth line, he's probably not getting a ton of ice time. He's probably not getting a ton of points just based on the ice time that he's going to be getting. But you can steal a lot of points on that second power play unit if you're a guy like Cody Glass. I thought he looked good the other night. Like, John Hines talked about basically last year at this time physically he just wasn't ready. And I asked him how much progress he'd seen out of Cody Glass from then to now, and he just like a lot. I'm seeing a lot of progress. That's, to me, I mean, all signs are pretty good that Cody Glass has done everything that he needed to do to make a good impression with the coaching staff since then.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like sometimes you get these you know, high picks and they're disappointing. Whatever happens, they have turmoil, they have disappointment, they have injuries. And so they're always seen through the lens of where they were picked. But, you know, down the road, if they stick with it, you may end up having yourself kind of a, you know, kind of a sneaky, important player down in your lineup a little bit. And maybe that's the case here. And my next question would be Tolvanen. How do you think he looks right now?
I think he looks about like he's looked the last couple of years, which, I mean, I guess you could take that any way you want to take it. But, after what happened with Matt Duchene last year, I hesitate to make, like, declarative statements moving forward because I didn't see that one coming last year. But, like, the more I watch Tolvanen play, the less that I'm convinced that he's ever going to be what they drafted him to be. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't be a good player. Like, they drafted Austin Watson in the first round, and Austin Watson was never a top six forward.
There's a great example of what I just talked about. Like, first-round pick, but eventually it's like, wow, he's a really good checking forward.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Penalty killer.
Right.
Know?
And, you know, that's not what you wanted him to be. And certainly, if you would have told David Poile 3-4 years ago that in 2022 Elie Tolvanen's playing on your fourth line, it's probably not what he envisioned for Elie Tolvanen. But, you know, that doesn't mean he can't carve out a good role for himself there. I do wonder, like, you've got him down there, Cody Glass down there. Parsonen, I think, has made a good impression. You signed Zach Sanford to a one-way deal the other day. I mean, I think he's been okay during training camp. I don't know that his spot's guaranteed on the team. And then the guy that everybody forgets about, like Michael McCarron's still there too, and he played a big role for the team last year. Like, I think the coaching staff loves Michael McCarron. So I think he's got a chance to make the team and play. So if that's the case, like, is Sanford not making it? Parsonen, I think, is probably – if I had to guess, Parsonen – is going to be on the short list for a call-up at some point just based on contractually where he is. But they got some interesting decisions to make down there at the bottom part of that lineup.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's like you said, it's not ideal for Tolvanen. I think last year – well, look, going into last year, I thought Tolvanen was about to have a huge season, and it looks more like his outburst the year before was the exception more than the rule. But – it's also not bad to be able to collect a little bit of scoring here and there, you know, to have a little bit of scoring punch on that line, as long as he can do all the other things that you're supposed to do on that line.
Yeah, and if your fourth line is Tolvanen, Glass, and whoever, Sanford, McCarron, whoever you throw out there, like, it's not your traditional fourth line, but I think that's okay in today's NHL. Like, the days of you needing to put somebody through the wall for the most part are over. And by the way, your third line does that
anyway and scores.
Yeah, so I think – you don't need, to me, like, two lines in your bottom six that are just crashing and banging all the time. You've got one with Trennan and Janot and Sissons. So I think that gives you a little bit maybe of a different look on that fourth line down there. So I don't know. Like, it's a really interesting spot that they're in. Cody Glass, I think he's got a good chance to make the team, and I'm interested to see what he looks like. The play he made the other night, he made a play coming into the zone where he's looking one way, and he wheels kind of like a behind-the-back pass the other way right on the tape, and you're like, okay, that's what the sixth overall pick, that's what you're looking for. Like, that's why he got drafted where he drafted. And I think one thing that we talk about all the time, whether it's hockey, football, basketball, whatever sports you want to throw out there, confidence is so important. And the way his career's gone thus far, you can't tell me that he's not struggled with confidence to this point. And if he's got that back, then that, I think that could be a really good thing for him moving forward.
It's massively important, you know. And that's the thing, too, going back to Tolvin, and, you know, like, he clearly had it for a little bit, a couple seasons ago. It seems like that's something that's left him. But you also, like, I think that maybe his expectations probably have to change along with everybody else's, right?
Well, and with him, like, even I was watching practice the other day, and there will be – he had two plays in a row in kind of like a scrimmage drill setting where he finds some open ice, he winds one up, and he picks a corner that's about that big. I mean, and you're like, okay. Where is that, man?
You want that on your team.
Yeah. I mean, he's still got – it's not like his shot has just evaporated. It's just he's not been able to find a way consistently enough to use it. And that's the thing. Like, if you're Hines and Dan Lambert and working on the power play this year, like, for that second unit, how can you find ways to get him in a position where, whether it's the one-timer or whether he's at that left circle and he's just ripping it, to get him more looks? Because I didn't feel like – I mean, he got some looks last year, but it just never felt anywhere near the same as it did the year before when he was ripping it.
And we talked about it. I do think that it didn't look as lethal, too.
I agree.
Doesn't make sense, but that's just what it seemed like.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. So, you know, if he could figure it out, that would be something where your fourth line looks a little different. I mean, look, if he can figure it out and Tomasino doesn't figure it out in the top six, it'd be great to have another option there, and I'm not sure they do at the moment. So that's kind of the one area where there's a whole lot of pressure on Philip Tomasino heading into the season to figure it out.
Like you said, but that also could be Glass.
Could be.
Like, Glass and Tolvanen have the potential, the skill to possibly be able to fill in there. And that's a good point on Tomasino. I mean, it's a very different – last year the question was, can you handle 82 games? And now it's, can you handle all the extra ice time and the expectations of being on a line like that?
Coming up next, we'll be joined by former Predator Scott Hartnell. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators heading into this season, including a couple of guys that he spent a lot of time with, Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg. That's coming up next. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always as your host, and we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in former Nashville Predators forward, the legendary Scott Hartnell, joining us here on the program. Scott, what's going on? How are we doing?
What an intro, legendary. I love it. not much is going on. Getting ready for hockey season is almost upon us.
It is almost here. So, Scott, first off, congratulations. I saw recently where you just became an official U.S. citizen. Congratulations on that. Just tell our listeners here in Nashville what you've been up to as of late.
Well, yeah, that was almost a couple of weeks ago now, so that was a pretty special day, not only for myself, but the other, 100 citizens-to-be to walk and get your certificate of citizenship. And, for a lot of other people, I think it meant a lot more, from some crazy countries and from all over the world and to see the smile on their faces and just the tears of joy and fist pumping and everything. It was pretty cool to be a part of a really cool celebration.
Well, Scott, as you said, looking forward to hockey season here and lots of excitement about this Predators team heading into the season. I want to kind of focus in with you for a few minutes here on two guys that you've spent a lot of time with, and that is Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg. Two monster years last year. Let's start on the Josi front. He put up 96 points as a defenseman last year, which is just absurd. Most points in the last 30 years in the league. When you think back to playing with him, when did you know that Roman Josi was kind of a special guy? And how, I guess, was it surprising to you that he put up 96 points as a defenseman? What do you make of the year he had a year ago?
it was pretty cool. You didn't watch every game. Obviously, it's tough to do that around the NHL. But you know, you definitely, you know, the Pred scores was one of the things I kind of, you know, watched the highlights and you know, see who scored. And it was Roman Josi, you know, almost nonstop, right? And the one stretch you had where I think it was six or seven games with 3+ points, like that's you're in pretty elite company when you do that. So just the way he can skate, the way he knows where to move the puck, where to, you know, put his little shimmy shakes on and just break free of everyone and lead the rush. And, you know, his shot is one of the best shots from a D-man, you know, around the NHL. So everything this guy does is at a high level. And, you know, I don't know if anyone would have guessed he would have got close to 100 points, but he's definitely a point per game guy.
Well, Scott, I think you were here the first year that he was officially the captain here in Nashville. Just, you know, there are different leadership styles around the league, and some are a little bit more vocal than others. Some lead by example. I mean, you know this better than anybody, but what did you think of your time here with Roman and his leadership from that standpoint?
Well, he's got the soft-spoken Swiss accent, so he's not so when he does get a little stern or angry, you know, you kind of get out of tension, you know, what he's about to say. But, you know, yeah, leaders, like you said, lead in different ways. And, you know, for him, it's about bringing it every day in practice, making his, you know, the forwards better when you're doing 3-on-3 drills, you know, 3-on-2 drills. He's always looking to, you know, create some confusion on the forwards. So it makes you dial in your practice habits a lot more. So when you have someone that's a lead of a player, you know, it just kind of filters throughout that whole dressing room. And you know, I think everyone is better for it there in Nashville. And you know, what a contract he's on. And, you know, it's a lot of money and whatnot, but he probably could have been paid a ton more than what he got. So, you know, I think it's a good deal for both sides. And you know, he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah, no question about it. Former Preds forward Scott Hartnell on the line with us here on Preds Insider. So, Scott, obviously, when you came to Nashville the last time here a few years ago in 17-18, Forsberg had some big years, Philip Forsberg, but he not quite had a year like he had a year ago where he scores 42 goals, 84 points, was just electric out there. But just from your time around Philip, when did you know that he might be a little bit different in terms of the talent that he brought to the table? What were your impressions of Forsberg when you played with him?
Well, you know, a guy that can turn it on, you know, in a split second, and his hands with the puck, his, you know, skating ability, his release of his shot, you know, and he's going north towards the goal in the power play. You know, he comes up real high and gets kind of his feet moving and takes that shot. It's got a chance to score every time. And, you know, one of the cool stories about Phil was, I think it was the last game of the year in that 2017-18 season where, you know, he kind of looked at me and he's like, man, I haven't had a hat trick this year, you know, and he's like, and I'm pretty sure it was the last year. You have to double check on that one for me, but he goes out and scores 3 goals, and it was I said to Laviolette, I was like, man, this guy had called his hat trick, if you can believe that. So just you know, another super sweet, nice guy, you know, with tons of talent, and you know, when he gets on a roll, there's no one hotter than Phil.
Well, it's interesting too, because as he's gotten older, Scott, he's, you know, just like every goal scorer in the league, you got to learn, you know, where the soft spots are and how to score goals in the NHL. A lot of these guys coming into the league have just been, you know, elite players their whole life, and goal scoring's come easy. But when you get to the best league in the world, that changes a little bit. So what was the process like for you in your career in terms of learning how to score goals in the NHL, and how difficult do you think that is for young players first coming into the league?
Tricky. You got to find your place, you know, as a man, you know, kind of in a new city, new teammates, you know, for, you know, some of the most elite players, there's not much learning curve. But, you know, for me, you know, I was 18, I had a couple goals my first year, and then I think I had maybe 14 the next year, and, you know, confidence started growing. Oh, I can play in this league. Oh, I scored on, you know, almost scored here, or practice, you're really working on your shot, so you know, you know, where you are on the ice, you know where kind of the goalie is going to be, or just kind of left from. So all that stuff is learned, right? And you know, you can almost have your eyes shut, and you know, you know where that top corner is. And you know, for Phil, he's honestly he's excelled almost every year, and you know, getting in positions to score. And you know, when you kind of get your feet wet, you might not be on the power play, and when you earn it as well, you want to stay hungry to be on that power play because, you know, let's face it, you don't get many points if you're not on those kind of special teams things too. So, you know, for me, I had to pay my dues for a few years, and then, you know, my last couple years in Nashville, and then, you know, in Philly for 7 years, I was, you know, that guy in the power play up in the slot in front of the net on the power, on the PP, you know, screening and tipping goals and pucks going off you and in. And you know, for me and a lot of guys in the NHL, you score goals right around the head, right? You know, I'm not scoring coming down the wing, crossing the blue line and letting the howitzer go and get to the net and just scrumming it up and you know, working, having a hard working man's goal. So those are the goals that I score, probably not the way Phil scores or Roman scores, but it's they all count.
Scott Hartnell on with us here on Preds Insiders. So, Scott, you know, I've told Ryan Johansson this. There have been times where I've watched him in the past, and I'm like, dude, you got to shoot the puck more. That shot you've got is pretty good. And then last year he goes out and he scores 25 goals with that good-looking shot. Just the, you know, Ryan Johansson, his playmaking ability is obviously his biggest strength. But just overall as a player, the size, the strength that he brings to the table, what sort of a year do you think Johansson could have this year, coming off a really good year a year ago?
Yeah, I think he's got to use that year last year as a big confidence booster for him. And you know, I know in Columbus he had a big year, but then took a few years, not off, but, you know, kind of not on the score sheet as much as he'd like. So, you know, having that confidence fresh in your mind, you know, having the new coach, John Hines, not necessarily new, but, you know, knowing how to put him in a place to succeed, you know, because when Joey's going, his line mates are going, you know, they're filling the nets, having fun, and, you know, no one celebrates harder than Ryan Johansson. So I think he should just build on that. And you know, he's a guy that has that big body, that big presence, and a lot of his goals last year were kind of right around that that crease area. So, you know, if he dries up and doesn't score for, you know, 5, 6, 7 games, you kind of scratch your head. You're like, oh, why am I not scoring? Oh, because I'm not going to net, right? So get that big body of his in front of that goaltender, and good things do happen.
Scott, how important was it for you as you look back on your career? Obviously, you know, you had a great team in 17-18 here in your second stint with the Preds. Didn't end the way you wanted to in a really tough series against Winnipeg in terms of just two great teams going at it. But how important was it for you as you look back on it to come back to Nashville and kind of close out your career in the place that it all began?
Yeah, it's, you know, going around full circle or whatever it's called, and you know, you always have a special place in your heart and your head for the team that, you know, brought you in the league and kind of groomed you to be the player that you were. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for, you know, David Poile and the management, and, you know, Laviolette, loved him as a coach as well. So that made it a very easy kind of pick for me. Not that the phone was flying off the hook for me, but but no, I just the whole city, how it's grown in the last, you know, 25 years is absolutely bananas as well. So lots of great memories from Nashville, and yeah, probably the most disappointing was not winning that game 7, because you know, you play Vegas and you know, could have you know, easily beat them, I believe, just with the group that we had. So it was you know, kind of one tough game, and you know, it was I guess the end of the career for me.
Well, you know, going back to that year, I mean, I know that the Preds made the Cup final the year before, but I still would probably contend either that team in 17-18 or your team in 06-07 were probably the two best Predators teams that we've seen in franchise history. Number one, which one do you think was better? And if you don't want to answer that, that's fine. But as you look back at those two teams, well, what do you think made those teams special?
Well, yeah, there was some heat on both teams, like you said. Yeah. Arnie, you know, Jason Arnott and Korea, and, you know, Kimo in his prime, and you know, I think both years, the last two playoffs, the series back in the early 2000s were against San Jose, and they had our number, right? So it was like, oh, you know, kind of picked the wrong, you got to be good teams, obviously, but that was a tough pick for us. And I believe the team in 17-18 was solid. Just our D, Pecorine, was, you know, kind of in fine form that year. And it was just, you have all those pieces. And, you know, I look back in Philadelphia as well, too. The one year we went to the finals and lost to Chicago, you know, you had Simone Gagner and Danny Briere. And you know, you kind of, the list goes on. You got top-notch guys that you have on those teams. And you're like, man, that that could have, I wish that would have, could have been different. But, you know, I think a lot of teams out there, actually, you look back and be like, man, that was our year. We kind of screwed that one up.
Scott Hartnell, our guest here on Preds Insider. Scott, it's always great to catch up with you. You're still a pretty beloved figure here in Nashville, and we appreciate you making time for us here today.
Thanks, Robbie. I appreciate it, and good luck this season to the boys.
Coming up next, we'll hear from Nick Kieser, his thoughts on the Nashville Predators, and give our final thoughts as well before the Predators take on the Tampa Bay Lightning in a couple of preseason games this week, and then head to Europe for the preseason game in Switzerland and the regular season openers against San Jose in Prague as well. All that next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Talking all things Nashville Predators, our friend Nick Kieser joins the show now to give his thoughts on the Predators and some storylines that he's looking out for as the rest of training camp goes here. It's Kieser's Corner here on Preds Insiders.
Yeah, Robbie, thanks for having me on. And I very quickly just want to get to a few points, things that have stuck with me very early on with it just being two preseason games. I know we have tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And first off is Mattias Ekholm playing with Ryan McDonagh. But the more notable thing when you hear that is both of them are left-handed defensemen. And Mattias Ekholm had to play on the right side. So, you know, that's something that I'm looking for is the comfortability from Ekholm. And last preseason game that he played in, it looked really good. And that's something you just have to feel great about if you're John Hines is, hey, Mattias Ekholm can play, yeah, we know, on his left side, but now he can play on that offside on the right. So he looked really good. He had two assists. You know, it's preseason, doesn't mean too much, but I'm glad to see that he's able to do that as well. And secondly here, right after talking about Ekholm, is we're going to move over to offense. The Predators' power play, I thought, looked very comfortable, and that's something we really need this year is them to be comfortable on the power play. Yes, you have a very short window into scoring a goal, and sometimes the Predators really needed that extra goal last year and the year before that. It's always been a theme with them is, hey, we need consistency on the power play, and hey, maybe we get it this year. I don't know, but some of these guys look really comfortable with their passing, with their, you know, heads-up hockey, and they're not losing too many battles. And I know they played the Panthers. Yeah, it's preseason, but you want to see some of those guys being comfortable very early on, and it's going to carry over. And I know that last night, one thing in Game 2 that stood out to me was looking at the line that I believe Trennan and Janikowski were on, was with John Leonard. And John Leonard was right there in front of the net, I believe, when Spencer Knight was in the net. And that's something we need. I know that you have to get in the dirty areas on the power play sometimes, and John Leonard was right there. And I know Trennan was too, but Trennan did contribute quite a bit of goals last year for what type of player he is. So I really like that. I like seeing it early. So if the Predators can get used to doing that very early on, that'll be very, very key. And the other thing that stands out to me, aside from the power play, and seeing Mattias Ekholm playing very comfortably on the right-handed side, is Yaroslav Askarov. Yaroslav Askarov is a 20-year-old goaltender, and he stymied a lot of Panthers in that first appearance that he had in the gold jersey. So I don't know how to really say it other than he looks like an NHL-capable goaltender. Yeah, it's one game. But think about it this way. You don't see very many guys come in with that kind of just confidence, I guess swagger as well. He's someone that I really like because of the hype, yes, but also he's showing it too. And he looks very composed. He looks like he's got everything going well for him very early. And that's something that you really want to see if you're Ben Vanderklok, the goalie coach, is comfortability under pressure. And one thing to me to note as far as how Askarov plays is his movements. He's very seamless. He likes to get to the top of the crease and doing so in a manner that he's not rushing himself. When you're a big goaltender like him and the frame that you have, you have to be very precise with your movements. Look at UC Saros. He does the same thing. So if you're precise in your movements and you are confident with your choices, because if you don't make the right choices, you're obviously going to let some goals in that maybe you would want back. And looks like Askarov's going to be a guy that doesn't do that often. So looking forward to that. But Robbie, those are the few things to me early on that really stand out.
Thanks to Nick Kieser for joining us here on the program. So a few things to watch for as the Predators continue to move ahead here in training camp. Philip Tomasino, can he hold down that second line wing spot that he's got currently with Niederreiter and Johansson? There's going to be, I think, a little bit more mixing and matching that takes place as training camp continues to move forward here. You know, just on paper, I like the makeup of Forsberg still playing with Matt Duchene. I think the chemistry they have together is awesome. So whether that be with Johansson or Granlund, I think it's a good fit. Right now it's with Granlund. I think that makes sense. They were electric together a year ago. You know, Johansson does have some familiarity with Nino Niederreiter, as he talked about earlier on the program here today. Can Philip Tomasino handle that grind, and can I handle that role of being a top six forward as they move forward? I think certainly as you look at Tomasino and try to project out what he's going to be and where he fits in for the Predators as they move forward throughout his career, I think a top six forward is certainly on the table for him, and I think he's got a lot of ability. So I think that's a very good thing for the Predators, looking like it's going to be a pretty good draft pick from the Predators with Philip Tomasino in the first round. Is he ready for that now at his age in his second full NHL season? That's a tough thing to do. So we're gonna begin to find out the answer to that as the preseason continues along here and as they get into the regular season as well. And it's going to be one of those things, too, that could be a work in progress as the season goes on. We talked about this earlier. You know, Cody Glass, can he carve out a role for himself, whether that be in the bottom six more likely or maybe even in the top six at some point this year? I think he's had an impressive training camp thus far. I really like what I've seen from Juuso Parsonen as well. I think he's got a chance to make the team for sure. I think he's also got a chance that even if he doesn't make the team, at some point you could see a call-up for Juuso Parsonen. The one guy that we've not really talked a ton about so far on the show here today that hung around in training camp last year. We talked about this last week. He was one of the final cuts of the roster last year. Igor Afanasyev. Now, you know, I don't think he's had a bad camp or anything like that, but he didn't do much in the preseason game the other day. Kind of was playing in a fourth line type role. So, you know, with his size and strength that he brings to the table, that makes sense. But, you know, can he force his way into the conversation of making the opening night roster and carving out a role for himself here on the team? Right now, just my opinion here, but I would say that, you know, he's probably behind guys like Michael McCarron and Zach Sanford, who they signed in the offseason. Cody Glass, you could put in that discussion as well. Like, I think there's some separation there that Afanasyev has to come in and make up. You know, Parsonen, I would throw in that group as well. So can he do that as they continue to kind of work their way through camp here? And if not, can he put himself in position where at some point this year he's ready to be called up and ready to come and contribute for the Nashville Predators? So I think the one thing you feel pretty good about right now at forward is that I like the depth that they have organizationally. I think they've got a lot of guys that are kind of right on that fringe of being NHL ready. And as we know, in a long hockey season, and certainly if you start talking about playoffs and the run that you have to make there, you need depth. And the more depth that you have at forward, I think the better off you're going to be. I like what I've seen from the goaltenders thus far. Now, you know, I'm still kind of in wait-and-see mode on that backup goalie spot. Once it gets to regular season play, there's a difference between regular season play and preseason play, so we'll see what happens once that comes about. But I like a lot of the depth that the Predators have. I don't feel great about their depth on defense outside of those seven guys that we've talked a lot about. I think they've got seven NHL defensemen right now that are no question going to be on the team. You know, beyond that, is there anyone that steps up and makes a name for themselves and, you know, could steal some playing time at some point, whether that be Jordan Gross or whoever? Could there be, you know, some depth defensemen that find their way into the conversation? Now, you're hoping if you're the Predators, you know, and you're pretty much relying on seven guys all year. But we know how the NHL works. There will be injuries along the way. You know, Mark Borowiecki can testify to that probably better than anybody with the way his season went a year ago and the way that he plays the game. So lots of things to figure out on that front. But overall, I just think this is a significantly better team than it was a year ago. Now, does that mean they're a Stanley Cup contender? And I don't think so heading into this year, but we'll certainly begin to find out the answers to those questions. So much of it is going to depend on, can Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson and even to a certain degree Roman Josi, like, can they have similar seasons than they had a year ago? If they can, then you feel pretty good about this team heading into the season. And obviously, the health of UC Saros is going to be very important on that as well. Lots of hockey coming up this week. Make sure you're tuned in on Thursday for the Predators as they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at Bridgestone. Same thing on Friday as well. Back-to-back preseason home games coming up later this week. And then the Preds are off to Europe. That's going to do it for us here today on Preds Insiders. We'll be back next week at our normal time on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Until then, hope everybody is doing well and is well out there. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.